It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Fox News has learned that retired Vice Admiral Robert Harward has been offered the job of National Security Advisor. He would take the place of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who resigned under a cloud of controversy at the beginning of the week.
Vice Admiral Robert Harward is a former Navy SEAL and was second in command at CENTCOM, serving under General James Mattis. It will be Harward's second tour of duty at the White House. He was at the NSC during the early years of the Bush presidency. Senior White House officials describe Harward as a real rock, the toughest guy in the SEALs. The White House hopes choosing Harward will help the president move past the controversy still swirling around his first national security advisor, Michael Flynn. Appearing in the East Room with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, President Trump today lashed out at the media for what happened to Flynn.
Michael Flynn, General Flynn, is a wonderful man. I think he's been treated very, very unfairly by the media, as I call it, the fake media in many cases. And I think it's really a sad thing that he was treated so badly.
Flynn was fired for not coming clean about conversations he had with Russia's ambassador to the United States, intercepts of which were leaked to the media, drawing more fire from the president today.
From intelligence, papers are being leaked, things are being leaked. It's criminal action, criminal act, and it's been going on for a long time before me. But now it's really going on.
And there were more leaks today, this time about the president's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort. The New York Times carried a leak that the FBI had intercepts of Manafort talking to people connected to Russian intelligence during the campaign. Manafort today told Fox News it couldn't be true, saying, quote, "I've never had any connection to Putin or the Russian government, either directly or indirectly, before, during, or after the campaign."
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That's John Roberts of Fox News last night. Couple of things. John said that Michael Flynn was fired. He was not fired. He resigned. I think that's important. Brett Baer in his setup piece yesterday said the same thing, that Michael Flynn was fired. He offered his resignation. Now, I'm sure there was pressure, but there's a fine line, and it's actually not true that he was fired by Donald Trump. He tendered his resignation. The other part, Paul Manafort was mentioned as an aside by John, but I want to tell you something about that. Paul Manafort, who I don't know, I'm just telling you things I do know. I don't know him personally, but he was, the campaign manager? He was, I think that was his title, when Trump was running. He stepped aside because of alleged ties to Russia. Now, but this is what I am hearing now. You know, this whole story about Russia, remember, is, as far as I can see, as far as we know right now, there is absolutely no evidence that there was any interference in our elections by the Russians. And there was absolutely no evidence that the Trump administration had inappropriate relationships with Russia. There's been no proof of that whatsoever. This is another case of just repeating something over and over again to try to create the impression. Because, as we told you, it's hard to even go back in time to imagine what you were thinking even 30 days ago. But remember, it just was ridiculous. Even the left, some of the left news outlets were sort of mocking this whole notion that it was, I remember Homeland Security, Jay Johnson pushing this way before getting out ahead of it, before, and people were scratching their heads saying, what's he talking about? So there is no proof. And even the New York Times hasn't found proof. And by the way, the tapes, the alleged tapes, 9 different agents from intelligence agencies leaked that information, alleged information, to the press, to the New York Times, to the Washington Post. And it is a felony to do that. They are the ones that leaked. We have a very serious situation with our intelligence agencies. But back to Paul Manafort, this is probably Exhibit A, one of the exhibits. Paul Manafort has been under investigation for his alleged ties with the Russians. Remember, he resigned from the Trump team, and then he has been investigated. They found nothing. And this is what I heard, I've been told. This is not what you're going to read in the paper. They found nothing, and so they decided they needed to go deeper, and they ask, as I understand it, the NSA to deliver tapes of conversations that he had so that they could, you know, see in a different way. And my understanding is that's absolutely verboten. You can't do that. You can't just fish around and try to find something. They have found nothing that I know of on Paul Manafort, and they have found nothing, as far as I know, on Michael Flynn. And as a matter of fact, it's interesting, Andy McCarthy wrote an article this morning on National Review. Let me read to you what he says. There's one easy way to get to the bottom of all this, one way to get a real sense of whether Michael Flynn, the now former national security advisor, is a lying rogue who deceived every Trump administration official in sight, or the victim of an elaborate deep state scam whose real objective is to destroy not merely Flynn, but the Trump presidency. Let's go to the audio tape, the government's recording of a December 29, 2016 conversation intercepted under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that Flynn had with Sergei Kislyak, the Russian ambassador to the United States. For now, the so-called deep state, the intelligence operatives and highly placed officials who run the United States government because they have the power to ruin their opposition, would apparently prefer that we not hear the tape. Many of them are Obama functionaries who are content to shape opinion by leaking their edited versions of events to media allies. Some of them are Trump functionaries whose mishandling of what may be a tempest in a teapot has made them vulnerable less than 4 weeks into the new administration. Perhaps, they calculate, handing up Flynn's scalp makes their problem go away. In reality, it is just whetting the opposition's appetite. And certainly we can see that that's true. And by the way, Andy goes into a great deal more. We'll put his article on our Facebook page, Make the Flynn Tape Public. Now, Catherine Herridge did an interesting report a little bit more on this whole business of Russia's alleged involvement in this mess. Let's listen to what Catherine has to say.
A government source confirmed that the FBI investigation went beyond former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn and included contacts between the Trump campaign team and Russian officials. Confirmation of a broader investigation provoked a strong bipartisan response on Capitol Hill. The Senate Minority Leader called on the White House to preserve records and to keep Attorney General Jeff Sessions out of the Russia investigations.
There is real concern that administration, transition, and campaign officials may try to cover up ties to Russia by deleting emails, texts, and other records that could shine a light on those connections.
And Republicans want clarity, too.
If there were Trump officials, campaign officials, collaborating with the Russians, that is a big-time bad move on their part, and I want to punish Russia for interfering in our campaign even more aggressively than I do today. And any Trump person who collaborated with the Russians, if they did, they should be punished.
Communications between the Trump team and Russian officials were picked up during routine monitoring of foreign intelligence targets, and Fox was told there is no indication at this time laws were broken.
I don't think we need to go through setting up a special committee, but we are going to look at Russian involvement in the U.S. election. It's a significant issue. We know they were messing around with it. We don't think they had any impact on the outcome.
All right, so that's the first part of Catherine's report. You know, before we hear the second part of it, there are a lot of competing interests here. I mentioned this yesterday, but I will repeat that one of the reasons why Lindsey Graham and John McCain were so opposed, they have their own reasons. To oppose Michael Flynn. And one of them is the issue of Syria. Michael Flynn was one of the persons, maybe the only one, who was a general who said publicly that the whole American policy toward the Syrians was worthless. Those are my words. In a manner of speaking, he said that. He said, we have virtually created ISIS by giving arms and money to the so-called Syrian rebels, which was a hobby horse for John McCain and Lindsey Graham for months. I remember talking about it on this show repeatedly, that this was ridiculous. There were no Syrian moderate rebels. Patrick Poole was on with me talking about this more than once. And so John McCain, you know, oh, the Syrian rebels, the so-called Syrian rebels, we want to help them and arm them. And we did, yeah. And then the arms and the money got into the hands of what became ISIS. So Michael Flynn exposed that. And so Lindsey Graham and John McCain had their own reasons for wanting to go after Michael Flynn. Now, I'm not saying the Russians are good people. I'm sure there are really good Russians. I was in Russia for 3 weeks and made great friends. But I am not saying the Russian government isn't up to no good and doing things they shouldn't do. But I'm saying that this reminds me of, shall we say, gaslighting that we talked about at great length a couple of weeks ago. I'm not going to go into what that is. For those of you that missed the show, go on Facebook and listen to it. But Catherine then completed her report. Let's listen.
Writing in a tweet, President Trump said, "The real scandal here is that classified information is illegally given out by intelligence like candy. Very un-American." The senior Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee stopped short of condemning the leaks, using rhetoric that harkened back to the Cold War.
There are far bigger fish to fry, and I would hate to see us go off on a tangent and lose sight of the object. We are in a global struggle with Russia right now, which is trying to dismantle not only our own democracy, but liberal democracy around the world.
Fox News confirmed the FBI interviewed Flynn just days into his tenure as National Security Advisor about conversations with the Russian ambassador. The FBI interview came after the January 23rd White House denial that Flynn discussed sanctions.
The calls were related to setting up a discussion between President Trump and Vladimir Putin.
That statement conflicted with transcripts reviewed by the FBI that Flynn told the Russian ambassador not to overreact to the sanctions, and those close to Flynn said he made no promises to the Russians for a change in policy.
All right, so we have some bad actors, and I have to tell you, I don't think they include Michael Flynn. Now, if he lied to the vice president, that's not a good thing. That's the worst thing, and it's probably likely he did do that. Wasn't upfront with Mike Pence and embarrassed Pence. And that's probably, as far as I can tell, his greatest crime. And so, and maybe that's worthy of resignation. I don't know, but let's talk about who's going to take his place. Quickly, I will tell you that Robert Harwood, you just heard the description by John Roberts, former Navy SEAL, former commander of the U.S., deputy commander of the U.S. Central Command. And here's what my concerns. Look, I'm not an expert on this, but my concerns that I'm hearing, this is just my personal concern. When I hear that someone grew up in Iran, went to Iranian schools, I understand he hitchhiked at one point from all over Iran. He has very close friendships there. Well, normally I would think that would be a good thing, but that reminds of a knee-jerk reaction because it reminds me of Valerie Jarrett, who also spent some of her youth in Iran. And it also makes me nervous because we know, we're pretty sure, that one of the reasons that Michael Flynn was targeted by intelligence agents is that the Iranians are deeply embedded in our national security forces. And Michael Flynn was one of their greatest enemies, greatest enemy to executing this Iran deal, which is going to make it possible for Iran to get nuclear weapons. It just is, in spite of what the President Obama said repeatedly, lying as he was repeatedly. Michael Flynn was the greatest obstacle not exposing what the Iranian deal really is. And I don't think there's confidence that this Bob Harwood understands the complexities of this particular issue. You have to know that in national security, there are lots of different camps and views, but on the issue of Islam, and the real threat that it poses, whether it's the Muslim Brotherhood or the infiltration, there are two different camps. There are those that seem oblivious, and there are those that seem to be, this is my opinion, I would be on the side of those who think that we've been infiltrated, that we're in great danger, that have a heads up. I'm not confident that Bob Harwood is one of those people. And one of the bad signs about this is that the Never Trump movement, the Never Trumpers, are thrilled about Bob Harwood. We're also hearing that he's going to sort of revamp the national security team, which is not good news to me because I told you there was a war inside there, some really good people inside, and they may not be able to say now that Michael Flynn is gone. I'm concerned, and I think we need to pray like we always do on our knees before the Lord for the people that are running the country and that they be protected and that God will bring wisdom and protection to those men that deserve it. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
It is interesting that in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the first and last rays of sunlight fall every day upon its tallest building, the 555-foot Washington Monument. And there on its top, inscribed on the four-sided aluminum capstone, are the Latin words Laus Deo, which means praise be to God. This simple expression of praise reflects America's abiding belief that God has blessed our country with liberty and divine favor. Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman again. We're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, for our spiritual heritage tours in June and September, and we'll see this Washington Monument. That's only one of the many monuments and places we'll see. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will lead the way as we talk about the places, the time, the events, and the people of our early American Christian heritage. For more information, visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, I'm Ed Vitagliano, co-host of Today's Issues each weekday morning on American Family Radio. I'm also Executive Vice President of American Family Association, the parent ministry of AFR. I just want to welcome the many new listeners to the AFR family as we have expanded into several new areas over the past 6 months. Who pays for AFR to stay on the air, you might be asking? Well, the answer is simple. AFR depends on our listeners to make financial contributions so that we can keep our radio stations on the air. If you appreciate the news, talk, information, and inspiration that you receive from AFR each day, we ask that you remember us financially when funds allow. You can make a donation at AFR.net or by calling 800-FAMILIES extension 2. That's AFR.net or 800-FAMILIES. Please keep us in your prayers as we continue to impact America for Christ.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next.
How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu.
The National Football League believes grown men who identify as women should be allowed to use the same bathrooms as little girls, and they plan to strong-arm any American city that disagrees with their philosophy on transgender bathrooms. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy warned that so-called bathroom bills could impact future events in the state of Texas. Governor Greg Abbott blasted the NFL, told talk radio host Glenn Beck they were walking on thin ice. The governor went on to say the NFL needs to concentrate on playing football and get out of politics. The Lone Star State is currently considering a law that would require transgender people to use bathrooms based on their God-given plumbing. And Governor Abbott said it's unacceptable for the NFL to micromanage policies to the good people of his state. The NFL doesn't seem to understand a time-honored commandment. Don't mess with Texas. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Well, more important things, and that is helping people, you know, making the most of the days that we have, because the days are evil, you know, that scripture verse. And so let's do that. And because the days are evil, there are some positive things we can do. And one of those is help these little girls in Mumbai, India, who are being forced into sex trafficking. Little girls. Can you imagine if you have a little 8-year-old in your life? My granddaughter is 5, you know. And just imagine the abuse and the raping of their innocence that is just almost unfathomable and so sad. And so there is something we can do, because God always uses his people to bring redemption and in the midst of some terrible circumstances. So let's do that. These little girls need your help. It's only $7.08 a day to get them, just to provide clothing and housing and to get them out of this lifestyle. And you can help by calling 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can give online at AFR.net. That's AFR.net. I was going to do more news, and I could. I'll just mention this one thing, and we'll put this on. You know, the opposition is fierce. You know that. They're going crazy. I could tell you a lot about it. I will say that Indivisible, we put the link to Indivisible on our Facebook page a couple of days ago. And now we know that Indivisible has ties to George Soros and is former Democratic staffers are involved in this. It's just an amazing story. I'm not going to take time to read it, but we will put it on our Facebook page. It's an article in the Daily Signal, which is the daily information output of the Heritage Foundation, and it's Indivisible with ties to George Soros, so is division against Trump and GOP lawmakers. And they're behind the ones that are going into these Republican lawmakers' town halls and pretending as though, you know, and it's being reported like they're regular constituents and they're just upset with the Republicans. No, no, it's the maddening crowds on the left who are being coached what to say, where to sit. And and all courtesy of George Soros money and other money, too. And you can read in the Daily Signal where this is coming from. And the organizer of the Women's March, Linda Sarsour, the Islamist who loves Sharia law, they're starting something else. If you'd be interested in this, this is going to be March the 8th. And they're calling it General Strike, A Day Without a Woman. A Day Without a Woman, March the 8th of 2017. You know, I have to tell you. I'm a woman, and I'm really up for that, a day without a woman, at least a lot of women. And so, I don't know, that's their new idea. We'll see how that one works. And I could say more, but I want to get into some of your comments because I really enjoy reading your feedback, and we're going to do a little bit of that this morning. This is from Megan, and she says, your message about feeding your neighbors, I was talking about immigration, trying to make it personal, talking about how if you had a disaster in your neighborhood, without fleshing all this out in detail, it would be very difficult for you to take in all of your neighbors. You might be able to take one or two families in and feed them and clothe them and take them in and provide school for them and share whatever it is you have. But if every family came to your door, there'd be some point at which you could not do it, or your own children would not be fed or clothed and you would not be able to help them. And that's the whole point of open borders. There's a limit to what we can do. Because Megan says, your message about feeding your neighbors is one of the most unchristian things I have ever heard. Do you think Jesus thought like that when he was caring for the poor? Well, actually, Megan, yes, I do. Because we know that Jesus said when he was preaching, the poor you will always have with you. We know that he did not feed everyone. We know that he didn't heal everyone. Sometimes he left crowds that were clamoring for him, begging, help us, you know, and he left. He just disappeared. He went to the other side because he needed a rest. He withdrew. He could not heal everyone. He could not feed everyone because he just could not. He recognized there were limits. And so, yes, I do believe that Jesus would agree with my analogy on that. Also, the scripture says, Megan, that if a man doesn't take care of his own family, he's worse than an infidel. Men and women, too, I'll expand it to women, our first responsibility, humanly speaking, is to care for our own. We care for our own, for our elderly, for our children, and having other people do that for us is a last resort, not a first resort. So this would apply, you know, this would apply to a nation, too. This is from Ellen. She says, Sandy, my husband and I were having a political discussion with a family member who's a liberal, and she asked us why it is costing Americans $400,000 a day for Melania and their son to remain at home in New York so he can complete the year in school. We never heard of this before and wanted to find out if you know about it. Well, Ellen, I haven't heard anything about some figure like that. I just know that I've been the object of many misreported, ridiculous statements. And so $400,000 a day seems pretty high. There's certainly a cost because Secret Service will be there at Trump Tower guarding Melania and their son, Barron. But I doubt very much. I know a few Secret Service agents. I don't think they make that much money. So I think that's an exaggerated sum. I think your friend is reading some. You can Google it yourself and find out where that's coming from. But I doubt it's a very reliable source. And this is from from Tammy. She said, I listen to you every morning. You have a lot of good advice. I am lost. I'm not anyone special, but I am a backslider. And for those of you who don't know, that's a term, a sort of a Southern term that I grew up with too, meaning that when you knew once had a relationship with Jesus, then you start sinning again, and they call it, we call it backsliding. She says, I'm a backslider, really bad. I pray every day for my family and friends and the ones no one else thinks about, but I'm crashing. I'm drinking and gambling and smoking. I know it's all wrong, but no matter how much I pray, it gets worse. Please help me. Give me some advice to make sure Jesus doesn't give up on me. You know, Tammy, the thing that struck me when I read this was, I was just reading in John last night where Jesus was saying, and this just struck me. He said, the Father loves you. The Father loves, he's telling his disciples, the Father loves you because you have believed me. The Father loves you because you have believed me. And I guess the reason that struck me, Tammy, is because I think that sometimes, and this may be true of women, kind of, we kind of have a tendency to feel kind of bad about ourselves. I think we, maybe older women do, maybe the younger ones sometimes think too much of themselves. But God loves you. If you believe that Jesus is his son, then Jesus has said himself that God loves you. Just resonate in that, ruminate in that just for a second. Because I think sometimes when you are feeling the way you're expressing here, the reason you can't stop the cycle is because you are condemning yourself so deeply. You don't feel loved, and you can't believe that God loves you, and it creates failure, I think. Now, this isn't the message I would give to just anyone. I think some people think they're pretty good, and I think sometimes there's too much emphasis on God's love, but I don't think so in your case, Tammy. I think you need to really stop and remember that God loves you. You are precious to him. You are worth the sacrifice of his son. He loves you. So start there and meditate on that. God loves you. If he had physical arms and flesh, he would put his arms around you and hold you. And that would be, just imagine that, because that is how he feels about you. What you have to do is ask God to forgive you, which I'm sure you have, but do it again and again and again and again and again. As often as you have to, ask God to forgive you. Don't ever get into a cycle of sin where you think you've done it so many times, you are so bad, you can't begin to ask. Or maybe you don't even feel like it. I think, as an act of honor and respect, out of your mind, not your feelings, ask God to forgive you. And every time you do that, resolve to stop. And do it, if you have to do it 50 million times a day, from now until the day you die, do it. And I believe that in time, that will take root. And when you ask his forgiveness, then take a good step. Don't reach for a drink. Don't reach however it is you're gambling. Don't go there. Don't go online. Whatever. Don't do it. Can you do that for 5 minutes? Can you do it for 30? Can you do it for an hour? You know, honor him for today. And then face tomorrow. But you're not helpless, by the way. Sometimes I think when people get in a cycle of sin, they feel, I can't help myself, whether it's adultery or, you know, some addiction to gambling or drink. I can't help myself. You know, that's really not true. The mind is actually much, much stronger than you realize. And I find that I have learned, because I've not always been good at this myself, that I have to make my mind take control of my actions, not my heart and not my body. And my mind has to say, no, I don't have to think that. No, I don't have to do that. And I think sometimes too, Tammy, if you catch things on the front end with your mind, you can stop yourself from acting out on them physically. So I'm just telling you, remember that God loves you. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you have asked him to be your Savior, and you've asked him to forgive you, then God loves you. He loves you. And so you are loved. And because of that, then out of that motivation, you know, let's get it right. Okay, Tammy? Get it right. Get on your knees and ask God to forgive you for the last 5 minutes, and then resolve to serve him for the next five. You know, take it in increments. And don't forget to ask forgiveness at every point. All right, this is... let's see. Oh, this is from Barbara. She says, there's an article in today's Richmond Times-Dispatch that the National Organization of Women is calling for the grocery store Wegmans to stop selling Trump wine. The president, Terry O'Neill, said she will no longer shop there. Let me just stop for a second. Terry, I know Terry so well. I used to debate her all the time. Yeah, she's something. But she's going to boycott the Wegmans. Actually, that might be a good thing for Wegmans. But anyway, this whole issue is insane. And if stores capitulate to this, then we are in serious trouble. Stores should just stay that. Stores, they should not be politically active. They have customers on both sides and will surely alienate half when they make these foolish decisions and get involved with political issues. You know, I think that's true, Barbara. I think that, again, is the message that I would send, too, to these department stores who are not selling Melania Trump's, Ivanka Trump's products anymore, or the Trump products. Stay neutral, for heaven's sake. And I guess the only way they can know that that means anything is for those of us who have a different opinion to let them know. And so I've been encouraging people to tear up their credit cards, to say something, to call stores. It's Nordstrom's and Macy's and Sears and TJ Maxx and also Belk in the South. So those are the ones I may have, those are off the top of my head. Let them know how you feel about it and ask them to stay neutral. Just warn them. You have customers on both sides. You have no business taking a stand on these issues. All right, so this is from Sarah. She says, I am appalled to see that Google has added the words right wing to their official definition of fascism. The liberal lies have infiltrated even our dictionaries. She says, Webster still maintains the true definition, but the immediate result you see when you Google the word is the Google-originated definition. Well, that's the game, isn't it? And Google is so powerful now. It is so powerful. It can, you know, Gmail, how many of you have Gmail accounts? And how many of you do things through Google? Listen, they know everything about you. They know everything. And they set up their search engines in certain ways so that you could see some things and you have more trouble finding other things. They're not neutral either. So it's an interesting time. You know, I don't know. Remember the Unabomber? One of his things was technology, too much information. And so he moved to the mountains to sort of, he was at war with the way things are now. I don't think he was right to kill people, but you can understand why he wanted to get away and just be on his own. It's almost impossible to do that. We have to be hooked in. Every time you download an app, it asks for everything about you. Everything. All your contacts, your photos, everything. So it's a very strange place. Who would have ever thought we'd be have so little privacy in this day and age? This is from Jeannie. Jeannie writes often and sends sort of devotional emails. And so she's 71. She said, seems like, especially in these days, the souls of mankind are being overwhelmed by evil. Good to remember, myself included, that nothing can overwhelm our God. Even with all the problems popping up in clear rebellion against God and his loving, just, and righteous precepts. The Lord taught me this morning. The Lord reminds us that we are either for him or against him. He only gives two choices. We are either slaves or servants to sin, as Jesus says in John 8, or obedient to him out of love for him, where we freely choose to be his servants in righteousness. Obeying him from our heart out of love for him produces the fruit of holiness, reaps his blessing, and leads to Jesus' free gift of everlasting life. Hallelujah. And thank you, Jeannie, for so often sending beautiful things with tons of scripture, sort of like meditations. This is from Joe. And Diane, she said, I've signed up for AFA alerts. And by the way, I suggest all of you do that, afaaction.net. And I send messages via that site. I send emails, email versus via 1 million moms. I share on Facebook. And I'm writing my congressional representatives. So she says that, you know, she's doing everything she can do. But should I only write to those who represent us? So the practical answer to Diane is yes. They won't really listen to your letters if you write to someone outside of your district. The way you can influence other districts is during election time. You can go in and work for good candidates in other states. You can give money to great candidates across the country. But it's true that if you write a letter and you're from North Carolina and they're from Iowa, they probably won't listen. So there you go. That's a straight answer. All right, don't go away. David Harmskis is going to join us next, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with these little girls in India. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
He loved drugs so much, he risked getting shot to get his next high. On the next Focus on the Family, Bob Stratoff explains why he embarked on a life of crime to pay for the love of his life, heroin, and how God saved him from utter misery. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here. And I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Before Donald Trump's inauguration, Senator Chuck Schumer declared, quote, "You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday to get back at you," unquote. Presumably, he meant that as a warning. It may, however, have been taken as an invitation. Certainly ever since, the media has been awash with reports of actions by unnamed former and present intelligence officers that sure look like they're trying to get back at Donald Trump. Take today's Wall Street Journal report that spies are withholding classified information from the president lest it be compromised. Although officially denied, this claim is as ironic as it is insidious. After all, it comes at a time when state secrets and even the sensitive and perishable means by which they are obtained are being compromised practically daily by officials trying to neutralize or subvert Mr. Trump and his subordinates. This must stop. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Every day, my mom would shower, get dressed, fix me breakfast, and then go to the room next door. That's where she would work. There was this man always with her when she worked. She called him my father. There were lots of visitors to my mom's business, but my father would yell at my mom and me a lot. I think he wanted her to do more business.
I'm not sure what business my mom does, but I know she loves me. She wanted me to come here and learn English and be safe. Here I learn about Jesus and I feel protected. I thank God for all He has done for me. I also pray every day for my mom, so I pray that she is safe and no harm will come to her.
Wow, Sandy Rios back with you. If that doesn't melt your heart, I think it probably does. That's the sweetest little voice, and she represents, of course, hundreds, if not thousands, of little girls who are trafficked into sex slavery in India. You know, they not the same regard for human life. The Jesus that we serve elevated women, elevated mankind, that we're precious in His sight. We each have value. We each have worth. In other systems, in other religions, it's not the case. Whether it's a political system or a religious system, you are like a cog in a wheel. But not so with our God, who creates us in a unique and special way, each of us with value before Him. And so it's with that in mind, that's the reason why I think Christians are motivated. Unlike other people groups, we somehow rise to the occasion, and we understand that God has called us to help the poor and the needy, those less fortunate. That's one of the many things that He asks us to do. And so I know that many of you have already called to help India Partners, but let me say up front, if you have not, this is our very special day to sort of take us over the line in terms of our goal. And so if you haven't called yet, the phone number is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or you can go online at AFR.net, AFR.net, if you prefer to do that. Well, David Harms is with India Partners. He joins us each time we do this to talk, to help to understand you to understand exactly what we are engaging in here. Thanks for joining us, David.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Sandy. Just love being able to hear those stories and know that the AFR family is coming together again this year and making such an amazing difference in the lives of these girls.
They always do. You know, they always do. This is the most amazing group of people. Honestly, I've worked, in radio for a long time. But I can't, there has not been a single campaign to help people that I have participated in at AFR they've always gone over the goal because people just rush to be generous. It's pretty amazing. David, okay, but let's talk about what exactly does $7.08 buy?
Sure.
What exactly does that provide?
Well, the reality is that if we can rescue these girls out of the red light district, we have to have a place for them to go to. And that is the safe houses that we run through India Partners. And the $7.08 is kind of the cost to underwrite a day in that safe house. So that's full room and board. If they're, of school age, and many of them are, then that puts them into private Christian school. We do private tutoring to catch them up academically. There's medical attention. There's a lot of trauma counseling. And basically, these kids have PTSD. So we have to be able to counsel them consistently with the love of Jesus as part of that. So that's that $7.08. It's everything that they need for a day. Oh, and Sandy, I almost forgot. We only have about 12 minutes left, but there was a friend this hour across all of the AFA platforms that said they would double every gift up to $2,500. So, yeah, you mentioned if someone hasn't yet given, well, this is a great time in the next 12 minutes to call and make that gift so that it doubles and we provide more of those days of safety when they do call or do go online.
Okay, well, that's very cool. So let me give the number again. It's 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. So your gift will be doubled if you call in the next few minutes, and I know that many of you will. Or go to afr.net and give your best donation. David, how in the world do you rescue them? Well, what does that look like? Or can you say, you go in and do you don't have the police behind you, so how do you do that?
Well, it is it's actually something that has gotten even more effective because of the support previous years from the AFR family. What we do is we have what we call social workers. If we called them ministers, they wouldn't let us in. So we call them social workers. And every day now, it used to be just a couple of days a week, but now it's every day because we have the staffing financially supported by what we've done in the past. We have every day now our social workers going into the red light districts, befriending the women. And we actually now rent little spaces, this drop-in centers, where the women can come for everything from basic healthcare checkups to prayer to just being able to talk and have a friend that doesn't want something from them. And in the context of that relationship is how we then introduce the idea that they can not only come out of the red light district, but we have a place for them to go and a place for their children, because many of these women, because of the work they do, they have children. And so that's kind of how it works. And just since the beginning of the year, because of the funding that's come in and the extra time we can now spend, we were just there a couple weeks ago, and it's already 9 women that have come out as a result of this work. And that was as of a couple of weeks ago. So it's an incredibly effective way to let women know that there's a God who loves them, that has a different identity for them, and that they can get out and be healed in the name of Jesus. That's what the safe houses do, and the program works like that. Now, sometimes, depending on the owner, we have to be pretty covert in how that all happens, because they're considered property. And when children are born to these women, the children are considered property. And so what we need to do sometimes is be very covert about that, but always dignified, always with respect. But again, the safe house is where we bring them, and that's what your $7.08 does. So it's effective in getting them out, and now it's, in addition to that, effective in placing them in a safe house where they can heal in the name of Jesus.
All right, let me again get practical. The number is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, or you can give online at afr.net. You know, David, I have... because of my own travels overseas, I have been in India, but not interviewing girls who'd undergone this, different circumstances. But I have been in other countries where I saw kids firsthand who had been traumatized. The most recent one for me was North Korea. Mm. And I saw kids that were just had gone through unbelievable trials and trauma to escape. And the look on their face, like that flat affect, no smile, just a very serious look, maybe sometimes a furrow in the brow, and no ability to really interact on a cat, just sitting there, just like stunned. Yeah. That was the trauma that I saw on those kids' faces. And Jeff, our engineer, just sent me a picture. He and his wife were with you guys in India Partners, and he just sent me a picture of these little girls. And there's like 6 of them in the picture. And honestly, their faces are so bright. Their eyes are so happy. They look so sweet and happy. And contrasted with that trauma that I remember on the faces of some of the other kids. So this is a very real transformation. David, I'm wondering, how is it that you go about telling girls? I'm assuming in Mumbai they speak the same language. I know there's like over 200 different languages in India. So are they all speaking the same dialect?
Within Mumbai, Hindi is the primary language. So, but in school, and this is important, in school and in the safe houses, it's very important that we teach them English. English is the language of commerce. And so because of that, if these girls can be taught English, they are so far ahead of the game when they now, you know, become an adult that they can get a job because they speak English. That in and of itself is an advantage like you wouldn't believe. And so while they do speak Hindi or their dialect, English is what we try to kind of make part and parcel in the safe house. And it's simply because that's what will be one of their tickets to a profession that they can then have once they get out of the safe house. So it's one of those things, you know, and you said something that I guess this became so real to me on this last trip from just a couple of weeks ago. You talk about these girls that are basically catatonic. That's true. We see that. They just don't know. They're so traumatized with that. And the question is always brought up, well, why are the young girls the ones that get trafficked? You know, what's with the, why such young? Why 8, 9, 10, 12 years old? And the reality is, it's the money. I hate to be that blunt, but that's why they're the ones targeted for trafficking. And this is just the reality in Mumbai in the red light districts, a girl about 13 or younger, an owner or a pimp can make about $20 per encounter with that age of a girl. So $20 for one encounter with a young girl of 13 or 14 or younger. For a girl that's 18 to 25, it's about $1. right? So you knew supply and demand, so to speak. So the girls, the young girls, make a lot more, 20 times the amount of money for the owner. And so that's why the young girls get targeted and trafficked. And that's all the more tragic. The hair on the back of my neck just stands up on stuff like this. But the reality is there is a righteous anger that now can be directed toward the problem and solving it. And that's why we're so excited when people call and give. And especially now that the gift is doubled, we're just hoping, oh, there's only 5 minutes left in that doubling opportunity. So we do hope people will call and make that gift and be generous as they do.
Yes, and the number is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or go to AFR.net and make your most generous donation so we can double those pledges. This is a complicated question for a very short time here, David, but isn't it interesting? It's interesting to me that in a country where there are not, for the most part, Judeo-Christian principles,
right.
It's they're the minority, that there is this innate sense in man that sex with little girls, indiscriminate sex like this is wrong. I mean, where does that morality come from? My point is that it's God placing it in their hearts. Mm. And the trauma of it, you know, why are they traumatized? If it's not wrong, if nobody's saying it's right or wrong, it's just that God has placed in our hearts the notion that it's one man and one woman in marriage for a lifetime. And anything outside of that is so destructive. And that even without a system of rules and morals coming from written scripture, people recognize these little girls are living proof that this is not the way that human beings should conduct themselves. When you preach to the girls or you talk to them about Jesus, what is the gateway? What is the way that you verbalize the gospel to them that reaches them?
Well, it's really interesting what you say, because it's so true. You've got the innate God peace in every created human being, and it's when they're young, they kind of get that. They know that it's wrong. But in the culture in India, the leftovers of the caste system have externally told these girls that they are created for the purpose of pleasuring others or serving others. So you've got this internal conflict for these girls. They know inside that it's wrong. They know inside that this is not right, that they're being forced to do something that they shouldn't have to do. But externally, they have the pressures from the owners and even a culture that says, you're an untouchable, you're part of that caste, and so you were created to do this kind of a thing. And that conflict is incredibly difficult for a young girl and a young mind to process. And so when they come into our safe houses, this is why... Now, I'm going to get a little preachy here, but this is why the gospel has to be presented. There is a new identity in Christ, and they absorb that message like you wouldn't believe because they're desperate for it. They're broken. They've been abused. And when you can say that there is a God who created you and loves you, and this is not what you were created for, then they absorb that and they receive that in amazing ways.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of what happens in the safe houses and why when we ask you to give, and now that it's doubled for about 3 more minutes, we ask you to be as generous as you can so that these girls can be healed in the name of Jesus.
All right, David Harms, beautiful last words for this show. It's 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. So go to AFR.net and make your most generous donation to help these beautiful, smiling little girls. At least that could be their future. If you can rescue them, $7.06 a day. So you do the math and give in the best way that you possibly can. Dave, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and God bless and keep the work of India Partners.
Thank you, Sandy.
All right, Sandy Rios. See, there's really good stuff going on in the world. It has nothing to do with politics, and it's refreshing to talk about it. Thank God for God. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.